Hey, yo, the Deej.
Yeah?
Did you finish your homework?
Yes.
Did you do your chores?
Yes.
Even the dog poo?
Yes.
Do you want to watch a movie?
Sure. What are we watching?
Theme song guy.
Oh, yeah! He's the Savalon of the nation. He's the hippest cat in creation. He's the Alpha, the Omega, A to Z. And this perfect world will spin around his every little whim. Cause his perfect world begins and ends with
me.
What's his name?
You threw off my groove.
I'm sorry, but you've thrown off the Emperor's groove.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 7.
Episode 7 of Movies My Dad Made Me Watch, guys.
And today we'll be covering, in case you haven't listened or seen anything recently, we are covering The Emperor's New Groove.
Emperor's New Groove, your 5th movie in your top 5.
And this will be an end of an era.
It will be. This is the end of your top 5, man.
What do you think we should do after this?
Well, we actually know what we're going to do after this. But first, This actually leads us into this portion of the podcast. We got to send out a special happy birthday shout out to our homegirl,
Aqua.
How you doing today? I hope you're well. Happy birthday. She is actually a very close member of our family. And apparently, she's our biggest fan.
So, thank you. We're going to need a VIP spot for her right there.
I think that would actually be pretty cool one day. Maybe we can get over here on the podcast and talk about a movie one time.
Oh, yeah, that would be sick.
I think that would be pretty cool. Maybe we'll talk about that with you later, Miss Aqua. Anyway, for a birthday present from us to her, we're actually going to cover her current favorite movie that she loves, which we will tell you at the end of the pod.
As we do usually.
But today, we're focusing on Cusco, that crazy son of a gun from South America.
Is this actually set like around the time of like the Incas and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. Nice. He's supposed to be like the current emperor of the Inca nation at this time, which, I don't know if I'd want to be under his regime.
No, he's a very interesting person. as he said in the movie, a boatload of charisma.
Oh, well, yeah, if he says so himself, I guess.
Let's just say he has some questionable morals.
Yeah, we'll leave it there for now. I do have a question for you. You were telling me that this was a new addition to your top 5. What bumped it out of the way and what brought in The Emperor's New Groove?
I don't know why. I was just like going through Disney Plus, as you do. I wanted to watch a movie for lunch. And I just decided to put on Emperor's New Groove because I'm like, why not? It's been a while. And I'm like, gosh darn it. Like, this movie is great.
Yeah, it's really good. You know, I never told you this. Emperor's New Groove, for the longest time, was like my favorite Disney movie of all time.
Oh, for me, it is 100%.
It's really, really good. Well, I know there's some Pixar movies that I think have kind of taken over since it's under the umbrella of Disney now. So, But anyway, we won't bore you with all of that talk. So we'll kind of jump into the movie.
Mm-hmm. Dad's going to be talking about the business side of things, which usually is pretty interesting.
Oh, now I'm getting a compliment. I appreciate you very much.
I just feel like I'm being way too rude to you and you're my father.
Where it's all out of fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, this movie was released in 2000.
Oh, well, mark of the millennia, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. The development of this movie, however, began in 1994.
6 years?
Yeah, it took 6 years. It's a really, really crazy story. So it started out as a musical epic that was titled Kingdom of the Sun. And Roger Allers, the co-director of Lion King, the Disney movie, right, came up with the original the idea of it after he was done with the Lion King.
Actually, I think I know about a little bit about the story. Yzma basically trapped or like did deal with this demon dude from that world or that story for Eternal Beauty, I think. Wasn't that, like, a part of the story?
You know, so, I'm not really too familiar with everything that went about the original story, but there's a little something extra when I'll get to it. Roger Allers came up with the original idea. He even recruited Sting, who is a musician. He's in the band The Police, which is a really good band. Anyhow, he got Sting to write original songs for the animated series, or excuse me, the animated film. And this is where the movie started changing course right around this time was because in 1995 and 1996, they had the movies Pocahontas and The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Mm. And apparently, they didn't do very well in box office numbers for whatever reason. Yeah, I don't know.
Those are both cult classics.
I completely agree. Like, I actually like both of them. A lot of singing in those movies, which I probably like the music better in Pocahontas than Hunchback of Notre Dame, but I like both movies anyhow. Mike Dindal was brought in to co-direct the film to get a more comedic feel to what was, at the time, Kingdom of the Sun. So due to poor test screenings and some creative differences, Allers ended up leaving the project altogether because of this departure. The film turned into like a full-on buddy comedy. So it actually even took away a lot of what that musical epic was going to be. This is where you were kind of alluding to,
okay,
right here.
Yeah.
So there's a documentary called The Sweatbox that came out in 2002.
Oh.
Yeah. It tells the story of the troubles that the project endured over its 6 years it took to make. I believe you can find it on YouTube, but Disney obviously has control over this documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And so they like take it down every now and again. But I think I went on a couple of days ago and that documentary was still on there. I think there's a couple of pieces that are missing out of it.
Oh.
But for the most part, it's on there. And I think it tells you of like that whole story. And then also, I guess there was like a huge problem with Sting and the music and the direction that it was going. So there only ends up being, I think, 4 Sting songs total on, like, the soundtrack / score. Mm-hmm. And I know one ended up getting nominated for a Academy Award, I think I have in my notes. You look like you had a question.
Okay. Do you think maybe we could do a special edition of that documentary?
Yeah, I mean, I think we could. Like, maybe we can do, like, episode 7.5 or something. And then we can watch the documentary and kind of talk about that. I mean, I'd be interested in checking it out. Apparently, it was actually released at the Toronto Film Festival, I think. And it got a lot of... It was received well, I guess, the overall story of it. But Disney has control over it, and I know they kind of stopped it from getting out into the world until like 2008 or something. There was like some kind of a cartoonist from somewhere in Europe that actually downloaded the entire thing on the internet.
Oh, dang.
And that's where like the masses started finding out. I think even it has like 100% rating on Rotten Tomatoes too.
Oh, but it's only
it's like 6 reviews or something. The movie starred David Spade, who played Cusco, the llama.
Cusco.
John Goodman, who played Pacha.
Go ahead. How did he turn from a human into a monster?
Who?
John Goodman. He played Sully from Monsters, Inc.
Oh. Well, I mean, he's still in that Disney world. You know what I mean? So I guess they just kind of... that's right. Anyway. You had Eartha Kitt, who played Yzma. And Eartha Kitt is actually a really interesting woman. She was born in South Carolina, and she became this amazing jazz singer and like a Broadway star. She was the Catwoman on the original Batman series from the 60s.
Dang.
Yeah, she was like in 3 or 4 episodes, I think. And she had like the classic meow, like kind of thing when she did it. Oh, dude, it was amazing. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the D just giving the gas face on this one.
We should probably just get on to the movie now.
Anyway, she was absolutely amazing. So then you had Patrick Warburton, who played Kronk. And then you had Wendy Malick, who played Chicha, which was Pacha's wife.
Nice.
And then, of course, we had the amazing Tom Jones, who sang the theme song for the movie. A very famous Welsh singer. He had this hit back in the day called What's New Pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I think I've heard that before.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, whatever. Anyway, shout out Wales. Thanks for Tom Jones. He's kind of all right.
If you say so yourself.
So this was actually one of the more disappointing movies in that kind of Disney box office numbers. So like I said, we took 6 years to make the movie. It cost $100 million to make. And the movie only made $169.5 million. So it didn't do very well until... actually 2001, where the movie took off, and it ended up being the number one best-selling DVD of that year of 2001. Yeah. And then for the most part, it did really good in the reviews, posted as one of the best films from the post-Renaissance period of Disney. And I think for sure out of all of them, I believe it's definitely the funniest, out of all of them. The song My Funny Friend and Me, performed by Sting, which is played at the end during the credits, was nominated for an Academy Award for the Best Original Song. It lost, however, to a Bob Dylan song for the movie Wonder Boys, which is a Michael Douglas film. I think he plays like an author who's a teacher or something like that. Anyway, and the name of the song is called Things Have Changed by Bob Dylan.
Huh.
Yeah. So anyway, that is the business side of the movie.
And now I will take on... the actual story.
The juicy bit, my friend.
Well, I would say they're both pretty.
Yeah, that whole idea of the documentary is really cool, because apparently it's supposed to be super juicy.
Well, on to the movie.
All right, man, let's do it.
So we open with a voiceover with Kuzco talking to himself as the pathetic llama.
Right.
As he would say. And then we see a cute little baby Kuzco being an absolute brat.
Yeah, he's a total tyrant.
Why are they tyrants when they're so young?
I don't know. Maybe we need to ask your little sister about that. Oh!
Gosh darn it. That's brilliant. And then we get a great opening number by Tom Jones, Perfect World.
Mm-hmm.
Almost has like a Latin like jazz feel, which is like really kind of sick.
Yeah, I do. I like it a lot.
We get a sick palace shot, and the icon has a funny face.
It does have a funny face.
I'm like permanently stunned. Like, it's just there. And then these poor dudes just like start like breaking a hole in the wall so he can walk through because he was walking in that direction.
That's right.
And then Tom Jones ends up singing the Kuzco theme.
Kuzco!
And he just has like that sweet like 70s look, great hair, like a nice sick afro.
Oh man, that fro is sick, man.
But he was a bit stumpy.
Yeah, and I don't get it because like I think Tom Jones is what? I think he's tall, like 5'10", like maybe even 6 foot or something. But they made him like Lena Itty Bitty.
Oh, we're already at the bit.
Oh, man. Which one?
Old man throws off Kuzco's groove. You threw off my groove.
You threw off his groove.
And he gets yeeted out the window.
Yeah, the old man gets yeeted out the window, man.
And then he goes, sorry!
Oh, my gosh.
And then Pacha gets the old man out of there because he was walking up to the castle doing some business stuff. And then he starts getting, like, scared because the old man's saying, "Beware the groove."
That's right.
And then Yzma enters, and Kronk is there too, just sitting there being a bit of a ding-dong. I don't know if there's a lot going on in that head inside.
Yeah, no, he's, there's definitely some extra room in between his ears, that's for sure.
And Yzma is, like, totally, like, just bringing this dude down.
Well, yeah, doesn't she start, like, giving out orders and stuff? Like, mm-hmm. She's the empress herself?
Yeah, and, what is it, Eartha Kitt?
Eartha Kitt, yeah, that's the actor's name.
Like, her voice is so amazing.
You're absolutely right.
But, unfortunately, she passed in the Christmas of 2008.
Yeah, we lost her... way too soon. She was absolutely iconic, man. What a fantastic woman. And what an incredible life she lived as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I bet you she really enjoyed doing this.
Oh, I think so, too. I mean, what's not to enjoy? Plus, her acting partner, mm-hmm. In Patrick Warburton, who played Gronk, which we'll get into more because I wrote some stuff in the notes there. But just... fantastic actors.
From the teeth. And then we see thousands upon thousands of wrinkles.
Oh, with the close-up. Yeah.
It's just like, hold up. I don't think that's right.
And doesn't like Kronk kind of get like just like grossed out a little bit? Like,
No.
Like, no, not that close.
Kuzco fires Yzma for doing his job, which
I mean, rightfully so, honestly. Like, what are you doing sitting in the emperor's seat, honestly?
Like, I can't believe how many times this movie, like, just uses things that were not available at all back then. For all we know, they might be using a iMac Pro or something.
Oh my gosh.
Pacha enters. Mm-hmm. He enters in, they talk.
Yeah, he got summoned by the Emperor, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he comes in to fix his problem when he so rudely slaps Kuztopia, his summer vacation spot, right on top of Pacha's house.
Yeah.
And he's going to evacuate everyone from that neighborhood, and it's going to be complete with a water slide.
The extra addition.
Yeah. And then he starts getting all, like, touchy with it. And he's like, "My birthday present to me."
Oh, dude. Just such a selfish... Like, him and Veruca belong mm-hmm. with each other.
Yeah. They're the perfect match.
Yeah. I mean, just to be in an isolated island together, for crying out loud.
And now Yzma wants to get rid of Kuzco.
Well, obviously, she's been slighted.
Yeah, and... She starts, like, smashing, Kuzco dummy heads with a hammer.
Kronk keeps on putting the cement, or the stone heads, right?
He starts smashing them with a hammer!
Dude, she's savage.
And then, they do the secret lair scene, and Kronk yes. pulls the wrong lever, and Yzma asks, "Why do we even have that lever?" And then we get a super sick roller coaster.
I like the entrance to it. I think it's really, really cool.
I mean, just saying, like, I might secretly install it at one of my friend's houses.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, shoot up out of, like, the toilet or something.
"Hey, guys, what's going on? Don't mind me.
I'm just gonna live with you for the next 5 minutes.
Didn't they end up in, like, that sweet evil scientist gear at the end of the ride, too?
Why? Why?
I want the evil scientist gear, man. That's a great look.
The test tubes kind of look like faces if you, like, lined them up right.
Yeah, did you see all that? How, like, it kind of looked like Incan icons or something, man.
Wow, that's, like, really weird.
Yeah.
And then they decide to turn him in a bug by turning him into a flea, putting a box over that, mailing to itself, and then smash it with a hammer.
And they said they wanted to scratch that idea so they could save money on the postage. That's such a good line.
And then, and then they decide maybe poison's the way to go, you know? I mean, just there's a little something in there.
A little something in the drink and say, go ahead and drink up there, Emperor.
And Cusco comes in for his meal, and with his iconic catchphrase, boom, baby.
Like every room he enters, doesn't he say that?
And Kronk puts the poison into the drinks and forgets all about spinach puffs.
Oh, Yzma said some... Oh, no. I think it was Cusco that said, something smells like it's burning. Oh, the spinach puffs.
Cusco small talks a little bit. And then Kronk gives him the drink, but he accidentally mixes up all the poisons together.
Mm-hmm.
And he maybe sort of gets turned into a llama.
Maybe kind of, sort of, he totally turns into the Fortnite llama. That's what happens right there.
Can I get my loot?
Yeah.
Can I get some more ammo for my gold scar? I'm just saying, I might need it.
I might need it.
And then there's the little bit where they talk about always time for dessert and coffee.
Didn't he, like, he busted Cusco over the head and, like, knocked him out? And he's like, we need to get rid of the body. And Kronk's like, well, how about a meal first? He's like, no, we need to go now. He's like, how about dessert and coffee? He smells like, there's always time for dessert and coffee.
And then Kronk puts him in a bag and tries to sneak out with him.
Mm-hmm.
And Kronk has the classic cartoon angel devil moment where they're each talking smack to each other. Like, the devil's like, destroy him. And the angel's like, meh.
He's kind of like indifferent. Like, no. Fight for the guy. Fight for him.
Kronk's conflicted. Why? Why are always these kinds of characters just conflicted?
I think he kind of has a big heart, dude. Has a big heart.
And then he ends up saving him, where the bag that Kuz goes in goes flying into Pacha's trolley as he makes his way home. And by the way, I'm going to say something.
Okay.
It looks like it almost takes him multiple days to get to his house. And he said his birthday celebration was the next day. So why didn't everyone get moved out of the town? I'm calling convenience.
Are we getting our first cheese right here?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, if it's been multiple days, why isn't he arriving to see nothing there?
I don't remember that part. Was his birthday the next day?
Yeah. They said when he slapped the giant thingamajig over his house.
Cusco-topia.
And Cusco-topia.
I don't think it took days to get to his house. I just think kind of like that traveling kind of scenery that we got with it made it seem like it did, but no, I don't think it took several days.
Pacha, by the way, has a sweet spot on, like, the top of the hill.
Does got a nice spot, doesn't he?
Which, I mean, kind of can see the appeal for a summer palace, just saying.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
And Chicha, an amazing wife. Hands down, the best.
Best
just
mom.
Just always have Pacha's back, but Pacha fibbed to her.
He did.
Come on, man. Tell her the truth.
You gotta tell her the truth. I mean, I know, especially to Chicha, right? Because, like, that is your definition of the ride or die. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's a good wife. She holds down the house, like, holds down the babies, the whole bit. Like, I'm not gonna lie to Chicha. Like, Chicha's got my back. I'm like, baby, hey, look, I'm gonna let you know. Cusco is a knucklehead. Okay.
Yeah.
And we have to leave, so.
Demon Llama.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
My beautiful face. It's an ugly llama face. Why? And then he starts saying, I don't make deals with peasants like a total Karen.
Like, throwing the Karens in there, man. Okay, like, can I speak to your manager, please?
Like, I don't speak with peasants, sir. That was my Karen impression.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
Cusco walks and just walks back to his palace. And, he just walks on his own. And then we see the fly and spider bit. Help me, too late, numb.
Didn't you say you had a theory? About this? You were talking to me about this.
So, I watched this YouTube video about, like, this kind of Disney stuff.
Okay.
And, you realize how it was talking, right? And you know how Yzma can turn people into other animals while, and they just
with those potions.
Yeah, they happened to talk.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think that that might have been a human being.
Ooh.
And you heard the loud crunch too. It's like, he probably ate a cracker.
That's messed up, man. I never knew this theory. That's crazy.
And then the squirrel balloon bit is insane. Killer jaguars. Pachu saves Cusco and ends up a tree and falls to their doom. And they were never seen again.
Again.
And then we have a very epic waterfall scene.
Oh, yeah.
And Cusco predicted everything.
Yes, he did. He did.
Let me guess, there's sharp rocks at the bottom of the waterfall. We're going to die. Yep.
I mean, and it can't be comfortable, right? Because aren't they tied up on the log at this time when they go into the... This is a bad look, bro. It's a bad look.
And then they do the mouth-to-mouth saving bit. And he wakes up and Cusco wakes up and says, "Oh, no, too close, too close.
I didn't kiss you.
Cusco was messing with Pacha's fire.
Oh, yep.
And... Even as a llama, why, bro? Why you gotta be a jerk?
I mean, you would think once you became the llama and realized you are that... Oh, wait a minute. Does he realize he's a llama yet? Pacha...
No, they already know.
Okay. Yeah. So now you know you're a llama, okay? Mm-hmm. Weren't you trying to get a little bit of humility? Like, bro, you are not the emperor no more. Mm-mm. You are a four-legged animal. That is cute. I like llamas. Yeah, I like llamas too.
Yeah,
come here, Cusco. Yo, son of a gun. Let me give you a little hug.
Pacha's a saint.
Oh, 100%.
And keeping Cusco warm after him being such a jerk.
I mean, can you find a better person than Pacha right now in the Inca Empire? Honestly.
Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
And then the banter between Kronk and Yzma is just amazing.
It's absolutely brilliant. The quickness of the dialogue between them two, DJ.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly think that if out of all the duos that are in this movie,
mm-hmm.
Yzma and Kronk are the best.
You know there's only like two duos in this movie, right?
Uh-huh. So, moving on.
we're just going to ignore that.
So, out of the two duos, dang it.
And, Kronk and Yzma are absolute monsters when it comes to one-liners.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Kronk, I think aside from, David Spade, who plays, Cusco.
Mm-hmm.
Kronk may have the best lines in the entire movie. And I don't know if they're scripted or ad-lib, but that dude is just funny, dude.
Yeah, and then we get an OMG, apparently.
Oh, really?
Cusco said thank you!
That's right! Completely shocked. Yeah. Completely shocked that he was... And I think he may have meant it.
I think so, too. Think so too.
Oh, okay. So we're doing accents already, right?
No, we're not.
No, okay.
And then he gets the wool ride, I guess. Well, alpaca wool.
Oh, they have the yeah. They're mm-hmm. they're chit chatting about life. The poncho that I think mm-hmm. Paca gave him.
And or then poncho, excuse me. He says, "Don't shake unless you move it," which is rules to live by.
I mean, that's a good life lesson, right? Mm-hmm. Don't shake my hand unless you mean it. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Pancho falls through the bridge as they're trying to get to the palace.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing about shaking hands is you gotta have hands.
That's Cusco's line. Yeah. That's a great line.
And then Cusco falls through, stuck in the same vines as Pancho, which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Pancho punches Cusco. Cusco kicks his Pancho. And then Cusco says, I'm going to destroy your village, and I'm still going to destroy your village. No touchy.
That's when John Guzman Carapacha was coming back on the vines, and he was saying, "And I'm still going to destroy your village. No touchy."
And then they have a fight to the death, which I mean, like, Sonic Boom, Hadouken, Street Fighter reference, in case you've never played.
There you go.
And then the mountain light scenes. Mountain slide scene is really, really good.
Yeah, I like that whole sequence right there.
Oh, And then they have a good banter and great physical content.
The physical comedy between them is really, really good. Because I think this is the bit where they use the back-to-back to walk up, right? And then they mess with the tree there that has the flipping scorpions.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Bats.
Oh, dude, hold on. The bit with the bats is didn't Cusco's mouth get stuck in that hole and the bats start flying out and get stuck in his mouth.
I know we don't have a lot of bits, but there's a lot of laughing in this episode.
I mean, bits aside, right, this movie is just fun. It really, really is. Like, I giggle so much in this movie, man. It's so good.
Hey, do you think this is a good time for a break?
Yeah, sure. Let's go ahead and do our break now.
We'll be back right after these important messages.
And we're back!
Ladies and gentlemen, my dad's glitching because he's out of content. We looked on his YouTube save files and nothing was there.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
We thought this would be a good intro.
I don't think it's going to go over well.
Hey, who cares? We're laughing.
Oh my gosh. It was like at the point of like being uncomfortable.
Well, that's where I wanted to come in because after that would just get really awkward.
Like the rest of the podcast is just me doing that. And then it'll be like one person will listen to this. One person.
With like a half star review.
That's right. It'll be the worst rated one out of the whole thing.
Well.
Oh my god. So sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm trying to get back into the movie.
Go ahead, son.
So.
Oh my gosh.
Cusco saves Pacha. Dang.
I mean, it's interesting. And I don't trust it, though.
It's don't kind try. Of like that Willy Wonka bit from the Willy Wonka episode, remember? No, when he did that little thing where no one would know if he's lying or if he's telling the truth.
Nice callback, son. That's really cool. Yeah, I can kind of see that.
Well, I try to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty clever, man.
Yzma physical comedy in this movie is only second to Wile E. Coyote.
The physical comedy that the animators gave, excuse me, Yzma's character, is fabulous. Like, the falls, the sliding in the mud, when she's walking in the mud, she's like, these are my best shoes. Like, it's just so good. I love her character. I love the way that they made her. She's absolutely funny. And in particular, when she starts like interacting with Gronk, it's just fantastic.
I'm gonna say something. There's some like actions that she probably took out Wile E. Coyote's book.
Oh, I'm sure a lot of animators stole. I mean,
Roadrunner.
I mean, the Looney Tunes, Deej. Mm-hmm. That the comedy that you got out of that, you know what I mean? Definitely influenced animators for years and years and years, because those movies or those cartoons came out in like 50s. I want to say, like, was it the 50s? I didn't even think even earlier, maybe even been the 40s, dude.
You know they remade it recently. It's on the HBO Looney Max. Tunes? Yeah,
like new Looney Tunes.
No. Well, it's it's kind of like remade with like a nowadays type of style. It's on like HBO Max actually.
But nothing beats the old ones. Like those Roadrunner, Wile E. Coyote ones were fantastic. Anyway, sorry. We're totally getting derailed. Back to the movie.
And then we meet the squirrel saying that he saw a talking llama. The same squirrel we saw earlier giving Cusco a nut.
Oh.
That poor squirrel.
Once again, we're going back to Gronk, Deej, because or Kronk, excuse me.
I need to speak his language. The Kronk speaking squirrel, squeak, squeak, squeakity, squeak, squeak.
Who knew that Kronk was fluent in squirrel? This is amazing. Just another layer to the awesomeness
of Kronk.
Of Kronk.
Like, why wasn't he in Infinity War?
Maybe he's not so dense. Maybe he does got a few marbles rattling around in there, but
it's like the three brain cells. One's the mass and, like, the weight and, like, the strength.
Oh, yeah. Him. Oh, he's more brawn than brains, for sure. But the fact that he can speak squirrel, talent.
Like,
talent, quality.
Two out of three of those brain cells are mainly just focused on his body.
And then, no, it's breathing. One of them's focused on breathing, because we got to make sure that we do that.
One of them's focused on his absolute... Which, by the way, Kronk is jacked.
Oh, he's jacked. He's huge. But... Kronk, I think, may have skipped leg day because them legs are tiny, tiny.
Dude, did you see his thighs? Those are like some beauty thighs.
Oh my goodness, dude.
Like his body is maybe like 7 feet. His legs?
Oh yeah, they're 2 inches. Yeah, I'm saying he skipped leg day. Dude, this is just a completely unbalanced man. But I still love him.
Kronk might be one of Dad's favorite tunes of all time.
I really think just the lines and everything. He may be up there with some of the lines that, like, so as far as, like, Disney characters are concerned, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I put Kronk up there with Genie. Like, oh, I'll fall on my sword for it, dude. Now, Genie is the ultimate, right? Like, okay. That's the quintessential, like, Disney character, right?
I was about to say, like, you were not going to disrespect. No, Smith's performance. Yeah, that wasn't good.
It wasn't bad. But when we're comparing it to Robin Williams,
it's just not fair.
It's not fair. You're right. It's another level. So, where Genie is high up on the pedestal as, best Disney character. Well, I would say Disney side characters. Yeah, I would say Disney side characters. Because no disrespect to the princesses. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So Genie up there for sure. Kronk's got to be number two. It's got to be number two.
Like, that's like... Like seconds away.
I messed up.
What?
I take it back. Mushu's better than Kronk. Mushu's better than Kronk. As far as lines, Mushu had some fantastic lines, right?
Okay.
So we go.
Donkey that played Mushu, so yeah.
So top three, okay, side characters, Disney side characters, right? Mm-hmm. We got Genie, number one, undefeated, right? Number two, Mushu. But number three, I'm going with a solid number three. I think Kronk. Kronk's totally number three.
But they're all, like, generally very close, right? It's not like,
Genie is...
High.
Yeah. Like, that's, like, God level, right? Like, up there. And not to take anything away from Mushu and Kronk, but ain't nobody touching Genie, dude. Genie's number one side character of all time.
Okay. And then we see the mascot for the diner.
Oh, yeah, it's Bob's Big Boy.
Who's Bob's Big Boy?
So, Bob's Big Boy was a chain of burger joints, I believe, in California, if I'm not mistaken. And correct me if I'm wrong in the IG, guys, and let me know. But I think it was, like, a famous... Anyway, it's this, like, iconic, like, little dude that, like, is carrying a tray of hot dogs, and he's got overalls on that are like checkered and like a little pompadour haircut, and like it's like completely iconic. But that was like the Inca version of it.
Can you say hot dogs again?
Hot dogs.
No, I said hot dogs.
No, I didn't.
You said hot dogs.
I did.
Everyone on the IG, tell me what you
said. I did not say hot dogs.
You sound like a true New Yorker.
No. I wish. That'd be cool.
You might be.
Anyway.
And then they take a look at the menu with some very interesting dishes. And then Kronk ends up getting in the kitchen and starts ripping out orders like left and right.
Okay, once again, we're peeling back another layer on Amazing Kronk, right? So not only does he, he's full of brawn, okay? So he's going to be able to carry anyone he needs to carry, okay? He can talk to squirrels, which I think is an important job to have in the forest, right? But no, he's a short order cook as well, Deej, and knows restaurant lingo. Amazing. Go ahead.
I'm just gonna say something. Move out of the way, Sleeping Beauty. Kronk's coming. And he's talking to squirrels now.
Like, we don't need Sleeping... Well, no, I'm not gonna take anything away from Sleeping Beauty, because Sleeping Beauty is dope, okay? Mm-hmm. However... Princesses aren't the only ones to talk to animals, okay?
Well, I mean, you do have insane people. They also talk to animals.
That's a That's a very fair point.
No offense, not saying any of them are insane.
Oh my god, Kronk might be a little insane. Kronk might be a little crazy.
Just a little bit. I mean, there's not much in his brain, so.
Oh my gosh.
The happy birthday scene's amazing.
It really is good.
And then the random sombrero.
I don't get the sombrero because the Mexico, I think, was the Aztecs? Did the Incas go up to Mexico?
No, Incas was South America. The Aztecs and all their savagery.
It's the Mayans, right? Aztec and Mayans were like Central America, Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the Incas were South America.
I've heard tons of people call it Middle America. North, mid,
yeah, south. Yeah, that's fair.
It makes sense.
I'm all right with it.
Cusco's now all alone for being a complete ding-dong.
Well, I mean, and didn't Pacha even tell him? Like, dude, you keep on messing up, you're going to end up alone, you big dork.
And he did.
Yeah, he did end up alone.
And then the tents.
Oh, dude.
Yuzma has, the Grand Master tent, and then Kronk has, maybe enough to cover some of his shorts.
Maybe covers his thighs. maybe covers his thighs. I love it.
It does not go past his superhero underwear, though.
No. His Superman underwear is intact, but... And then the snoring, and with the little dingle ball that's coming.
What's it called?
The little dingle ball. The little dill that's on top of his helmet.
Sounds so wrong.
Oh my gosh.
God, that sounds so wrong.
Oh man.
The sound of the cucumbers, though.
Oh. Don't let it pop off. Oh man. They had, after they got all their stuff back together, after all the shenanigans that happened for those 6 years, they must have had a blast making this movie, man.
Kuzco starts eating grass, and he's disgusted.
Oh, yeah, because he's with all the rest of the llamas that totally denied him any kind of love at all.
Yo, well, I'm gonna need a hold down on that, that's messed up.
And he's just eating his little grass burger all by himself in the lonesome until you hear...
Poncho? And he's being a very solid dude.
He's a solid dude. He never let Kuzco out of his sight. He basically followed him the entire time.
He's like that friend that you make in kindergarten and you never stop being together.
Like, no matter what. Like, that's the dude that, if, you're ever in, a tight spot, you know that he'd be there for you. He's a good dude, man. He's a real good dude. Even if you are a jerk, he's still there for you, which is pretty amazing, man.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Just say it.
Yeah, well. You're a good... You know what, DJ? You're a good friend, man. You really are, bud.
And the way they describe Yuzma, scary beyond all reason. Yeah, we saw her.
That was a great line by that dude.
Yeah, that was brilliant. The jump rope scene was amazing.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Because this is just another layer that's being pulled off of my man, dude.
Kronk is a complete man child.
Okay, not only that.
No, he is a child.
He's a child. Yeah, 100%. His, lack of brain is totally set in that. But, okay, this is just another layer, right? Mm-hmm. Speak squirrel. Short order cook. Okay, can work in a restaurant, no problem like that. But not only that, can do double dutch, but not only... The double dutch, DJ, he starts doing the hand clapping, too. Layers, dang. My son. Okay, layers, like a daggone parfait. This is how cool.
This good is track a reference.
Thank you, sir. This is why Kronk might be the best tune out of this entire movie.
I think you're right. And then the great aunt being mentioned.
the boy, that cute, the cute little boy.
He's like... Great,
one, eat,
SpongeBob style.
Great aunt.
Turns out she's just dust now.
She's old. It's just at this point, she's she's lived for 3,000 years.
And she's still listening. And he's a grown man now. And he still has the mind of a child. The next Kronk. Wait, would Thanos have snapped his gauntlet in 3,000 years?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm taking Kronk in the fight with Thanos. Kronk is the only one that didn't, like, get disintegrated.
Mickey Mouse versus Thanos.
Oh, no, Thanos is killing Mickey Mouse. But Kronk versus Thanos, I'm taking Kronk, baby. Layers. He's probably like an Olympic gold medalist judo. Like just some amazing martial artist as well.
Break the door down? Are you kidding me? This is a hand-carved,
mahogany.
What's a mahogany?
It's a type of wood.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a great line. Hold on. It's a great line. Hold on. It's great. Break the door down. Are you kidding me? This is handcrafted mahogany.
Okay, that is brilliant.
Oh, man, it's a great line, dude. He's full of them. He's full of them, Deej.
He's just the one-liner dude.
Yeah.
And then the montage of punishment as she falls down and then becomes a human pinata. Yeah, right. God, that bit looks brutal.
Oh, it's brutal. But doesn't she seem completely unfazed that she's getting beat by the little children as a pinata? She's like, Kronk, get him!
Wait. Mask impression.
Okay.
Or no, that was like Skeletor, dude.
Oh, it
like, Kronk, get them. I'll get you,
He-Man. Well, she does kind of sound like a female version of Skeletor, though, on the cool man. Skeletorina. I like it. We're accepting it.
Or, you know, Tina.
For short. Don't try too hard, bro. Okay.
Kuzco and Pacha make it back to the palace via secret entrance. And Pacha looked really funny in that wig.
Oh, didn't they end up going down the roller coaster ride into the secret lab again? Mm-hmm. And Pacha ends up getting Yzma's get up with the wig?
Okay, can I say something?
Please.
So you know that little bit where it shows like the arrows and them chasing each other and stuff?
Oh yeah, and on the map. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I have a comment.
Okay.
I love how they say like, it doesn't make sense, but we're here before you, so yeah.
Oh, when they were kind of going all the way around, yeah. I mean, you know, movies, man. What are you gonna do? You know what I mean?
Movie convenience,
yeah.
But I love how like they play it off.
That's true.
As like nothing happened.
You know what I've noticed so far?
What?
Not a lot of cheese called in this movie, bud.
It's a lot harder to call cheese in animated movies, unless they're like really old and their content and stuff.
Okay, I don't disagree. Please continue.
Okay. And then the vials bit, remember?
Oh, yeah.
And then the dude gets turned into a round with a great line.
Oh, you got turned into a cow.
I got turned into a cow. Can I go home?
You are excused.
Like, at that moment, I have respect for Yzma. Yzma.
Right, she's trying to look out for you too. You got turned into a cow. Sure, you don't have to fight.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, I'll make a human potion for you later.
And she's like, anyone else?
No, we're good. Charge! The different vials that Pacha and Kuzco gives are really good.
It's they are.
A turtle.
Uh-huh.
A very small bird, which might be a reference to that bird from Aladdin.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Oh my gosh. Zazu. Wasn't it Zazu?
No, that's Lion King.
Oh, that's the Lion King.
It was like the red parrot from Aladdin.
Oh my gosh. Okay, we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out eventually. God, we feel
drive
horrible.
Me nuts.
We're going to go insane. A whale. Don't say a word. And then finally, a llama again.
Oh yeah, that's right. He was stoked about being a llama too, and then he realized, oh crap, I'm still a llama.
Yeah, I'm a llama again. Out of the nose, which is the way the water goes out.
Is that not funny, dude?
That looks like extreme, like, boogers.
I mean, like, somebody who's just sneezing, just had a bad day of allergies, my guy.
Like, that is, like, shooting out, like, your nose might not be there anymore. Like, it's just gone, disintegrated.
Oh, my gosh, you're so right, man.
God, man. So, some of the stuff in this movie, if you think about it too much, it feels hurtful. Like, it feels like you know it hurt.
Lago is his name.
Oh!
Yeah, Lago.
Hello, Largo.
And then, yes, my falling of the nose.
What was it? She, like, bungee jumps out of the nose, and then she comes out of the nostril and goes, thump. Like, it's like an uncorking of a bottle or something. Yeah. Great sound. Great sound effect.
And then she gets turned into a kitty cat. Yeah. With a funny voice.
DJ, they make it all scary too. Like, so like making a lot of smoke and then like the red eyes, and then she's like this really cute kitty cat.
But it's like that kitty cat where it's like the embodiment of the devil.
Oh, it's the kitty cat from hell. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it just like starts like just consuming your face.
And then doesn't she start talking? She's like, is this my voice? Really?
And then the Great Giant Trampoline. Sounds like a name of a Roald Dahl book.
That is a good call, dude. That would be a great title for a Roald Dahl book.
The Great Giant Trampoline.
The Great Giant Trampoline.
Forget that peach. Forget the Great Glass Elevator. It's the Great Giant Trampoline.
Yes, I'm excited for the adventure. Let's go.
Who's going on it?
I don't know. You know what would be fun to have? What? It would be fun to have Kronk on there. Because you know Kronk could like launch you up into the sky.
And then the greeting to the callback. And then they end up getting the vial.
Oh, they do the callback scene to the...
When they're walking on each other's back.
Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot.
They end up getting the vial. Kuzco turns into a human.
Yep.
The old man is the... Not the first time I was thrown out the window. Not going to be the last. I am a rebel.
And dude.
Time for Dad's favorite part of the pod. Would this movie score be better with a Clash song? And the answer is...
Yes. Always yes. And we are dedicating this song to all the old punk rockers, just like the old man right there said he was a rebel. What song?
All the young punks.
Yeah, man. All the young punks is dedicated to the old man right there, reliving his punk rock days, my dude. Keep getting yeeted out of windows, buddy.
Yeah.
All the young punks. Oh, that's a great song, man.
I need to listen to this song to learn the rest of the words. No offense, Clash. No.
Oh, don't hey, trust me. No, you're fine.
And then best buddies with the houses because they're now right next to each other.
He ended up getting a new crib on the other side of the hill. Yeah, it's great.
And then Kronk teaching Squirrel. And then Finn.
Well, no. We cannot skip over the greatness that is Kronk teaching Squirrel to the young... What are they? Explorers or...
What's called the Squirrel Kids.
The Squirrel Kids. Squeak, squeak.
Squeaky, squeaky. I said, to be or not to be.
He is the everyman, Deej. Kronk is the winner of this movie. He's the best character out of the entire film. And if you don't think so, come tell us on the IG and who you think is the best character in this film. What's our IG again, Deej?
It's a mouthful. Movies my dad made me watch. Altogether_podcast.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We would love to hear who your top three best side buddies are or side characters in Disney movies. I think that would be great. Also, once again.
Aquatic Girl.
Yeah, Aquatic Girl. Yeah,
Happy birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday again. I hope you enjoy this episode. And next week episode will be for you, for your birthday wish. And what are we covering next week, Deej?
Dark Crystal, which I've never seen.
Which is
kind of a shame.
No, not really. It's not a shame because I wanted you to be able to be older to watch a lot of these movies. So you can kind of, you know, get a grasp of what's going on. And I think you're going to really, really enjoy the Dark Crystal. And Aqua, I really... I'm looking forward to showing DJ, so thank you so much for the suggestion. Also, I was going to say, just thank you again for listening to the podcast. Obviously, everyone outside of our good friend, Aquatic Girler. And we just want to thank you for y'all's support. You guys have been very kind on the stuff that you say to us, and we really, really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, you guys have been so supportive, like... this was the perfect time to start doing this podcast.
I really do think so, and especially with, you know, summer coming up pretty soon. Like, I'm really getting excited. Oh my gosh, guys, we're just gonna have so much good content. So starting from today, we're basically gonna be doing movies that DJ has either only seen once or he's never seen before. We might throw in a few exceptions here and there, but for the most part, we want to stick to that because getting his kind of fresh take on some of these movies are going to be absolutely fantastic.
Okay, can I just tell one of the audience one we might do for the meme?
What?
Shrek.
You know, Shrek is a great movie. The first, I mean, I steal lines from that movie all the time. So anyway, thanks again, guys. And remember, be kind.
And smile at someone today, because you never know what's going on at this crazy time, peoples.
All right, guys. Adios.
Bye.